I'll just hurriedly read a couple of texts. You can turn to if you want to, but they're going to be very brief. The first of all, in the 28th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and the first verse, it says there, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. But the next one we might read is in John chapter 20. And it says there, in verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And the other one is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where it reads like this. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And then a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it reads like this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, and which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, so that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I don't know whether you have noticed, but you may have noticed that in these verses we will talk about 2 days. In the Gospels and in Acts chapter 20, it talks about the first day of the week. Lord rose the first day of the week. And in the last text, we were reading that he rose from the dead the third day. So the first day and the third day are the 2 days mentioned in these verses. And whatever I have to say this morning, I'd like to just weave around that thought of those 2 days. And let me mention right away that you have noticed, of course, that those 2 days are the same day. The third day and the first day were the same day. God saw fit to have a third day and a first day come together on the same day. And you have it in these verses we were reading just now. Now next Sunday, we're going to celebrate, that is the world celebrates Easter. Once a year, they turn back to that great truth that Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again the first day of the week. The third day is the first day of the week. And the world celebrates it, and next Sunday they celebrate it on the 10th of April. Now, you know, and as well as I know, that there is no such thing as that in the Bible. In the Bible, there's no such thing as a special session being set aside for simply for this fact, that if it is the 10th of April this year, the next year, the 10th of April would be on a Saturday and not on a Sunday. This next date will be on a Friday. Or if you want to go ahead, you could say that next year the 10th is on Sunday, next year the Sunday would be the 11th. And so forth. It doesn't come on the same day. And in order to make it come on the same period of time, because the religious world has set the fashion that we must remember the death and resurrection of Christ, we must think of it at least once a year on Easter, so they set a deliberate, arbitrary date. The Bible knows nothing about. Now in the Bible, there is no such thing anywhere in the Old Testament where you have the great religious system set before you. You have nowhere in the Old Testament the slightest suggestion that a certain thing came regularly on the same date every year. It came on the same day. For instance, when you turn to Exodus chapter 12, you find that the sacrifice, the lamb of the burnt offering, the Lamb of God, the physical Lamb in the Old Testament, was set aside on the first day. It was kept till the 10th day, and then it was set aside for 4 days, and it was killed on the 14th day. Now, if the 14th day of the month happened to be a Saturday that year, Next day, the 14th day would be on a Friday. You know, just like we have today, each year, the date sets a day ahead, not on the same day. So if you follow the order and follow Christ was crucified on Friday, was in the grave on Saturday, and rose on the third day, if you went by the date, that next year it would not be on Friday, it would be on Saturday that he was crucified. And it would be on Monday that he rose from the dead. And because that doesn't suit, so in order to have the picture remain the way the Bible gives it to you, the world has set an arbitrary date for the Easter time. I understand this is the way they figure it, so that it comes on a Sunday each time. You all know it doesn't come on the same Sunday. This year it's on the 10th, next year it has to be the 25th or something, I don't know. And the year before it's a few days earlier and so forth. It's not set on the same date. But in order to get the Sunday each time, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the religious world has set an arbitrary date. And I understand this is the way they work it. If I'm correct, and I think I'm correct in saying this, they say that Easter Sunday comes after first full moon, after the first Friday, after the 22nd of March. That's how you come to the Easter Sunday each year. But it's an arbitrary Sunday. It depends on the moon. It depends on the calendar and so forth. It has nothing with the fact itself. But the religious world wants it that way, of course. They want to have those 3 days put together, and they make a great deal of it once a year, while the Bible makes a great deal of it once a week. But if it's once a year, of course, they have to have it on the Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so they set an arbitrary date for it. If you follow the order of the days following each other, each day, each year, a day is ahead from what the year before, it would never be on the same day. That means very seldom. Now, the interesting thing to me is that throughout the Old Testament, it never gives you the order of the events the way they happen. Never once. In fact, something more striking. We were reading just now that Christ rose the third day in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and that third day is never once mentioned in the Old Testament in connection with the sacrificial system. Not once. You read that he was crucified, that the lamb was slain on the 14th day. You read in other places that certain offerings were offered on the first day, but never once do you read about the third day. That can easily be understood, of course. Because you find here that this third day, its spiritual meaning is resurrection. He rose the third day. It speaks of resurrection. And of course in the Old Testament, the sacrifice of the animals, and animals don't have any resurrection. They don't come back from the dead. When they die, that's the end of them forever. And so since animals were used for their sacrificial offering, therefore the third day is left out because there is no resurrection with animals. Of course, they picture the work of Christ. And that's true enough, that God has seen fit not once in the Old Testament to have the third day connected with the sacrificial offering. It's never once mentioned. The first day is several times. You remember Leviticus chapter 23, you read that when they offered a certain offering, they were to offer it on the morrow after the Sabbath. It says that twice over Leviticus chapter 23. And the morrow after the Sabbath, of course, is the first day of the week. We are plainly told that the Sabbath was the last day of the week in the Old Testament. The seventh day, you're told, when God instituted the beginning, he rested the seventh day. And they signed that day as a day of rest for the nation of Israel when they came under law. It was the last day of the week. But in Leviticus 23, you read a couple of times on the first day of the week, a very striking feature, which a lot of many people fail to see. It does mention the first day of the week. But it never once mentions the third day of the week in the Old Testament. Not once. If you follow the natural order, you could never say definitely what day of the week Christ had died. It would be different days of the week. Because every year you go a day in advance, as I said already. But God saw fit, and this is the thought I'd like to bring before you. God saw fit at the cross of Christ to emphasize the fact that those 3 days were together, and that the third day and the first day were the same day. The first day of the week was the third day that Christ came forth from the grave. He died on Friday, he was crucified and buried on Saturday, And he arose on Sunday, which is the first day of the week. Yet at the same time, it was the third day, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that he arose the third day. And yet that third day, as we were reading in these verses in the Gospels, in Matthew 1, he arose the first day. In Acts chapter 20, they came together on the first day of the week to break bread and so forth. He arose the first day, and yet at the same time, it was the third day. The third day and the first day were the same day. One was the third day and a series of events, and the other was the first day, as far as the week itself is concerned, the first day of the week. And God saw fit to have it brought together, and let me tell you this, the only time you find those three brought together is a connection with the cross of Christ. They're never brought together in any way, shape, or form in the Old Testament. You never had the third and the first brought together in the Old Testament. The only time you ever read it was in that central feature, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read in each one of the Gospels, I think, at least the three of them, you read that Christ was buried and he rose, and he rose on the first day of the week. We were reading it. On the first day of the week they came and found him risen. On the first day we met with his disciples in the upper room, that same day he rose from the dead, on the first day of the week. But 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that was the third day. He rose the third day. It was the third day of those 3 days. And the third day of those 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, was the first day when Christ rose. So the third day and the first day were the same day. And let me say, it's only connected with the cross that it is ever seen or mentioned in Scripture that those 3 days come together. That the third day and the first day were the same day. One was the third day in this series, the other was the first day of the week. Now, of course, the religious world doesn't care anything about it and doesn't understand it, doesn't understand anything, or spiritual things, so to speak. And so they make a great deal of the fact that it has to be the same Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, once a year at least. But the Bible is not concerned about the dates. It's concerned about the days. And that's why that's so much emphasized. The day is vitally important. Not the dates. What date of the earth happens is a very little concept. Like, we don't know. We still don't know. You can search all you like, but nobody has any positive proof what day Christ was crucified. They're just guessing at it. More or less history or religion gives you one idea or the other, but there's no positive proof ever been produced for the exact date that Christ died. But the day, of course, that's clear enough. We are told that he rose the third day. He was in the Sabbath, in the tomb the day before the Sabbath, so he was crucified the day before that, and that was Friday. There you have the 3 days brought together, and God brings them together. And let me say again, only at the cross of Christ, nowhere else in history or in Scripture are those 3 days brought together except in connection with the cross of Christ. It's mentioned in the Gospels as being the first day he arose, and it said here in Corinthians that it was the third day that he arose. And therefore the third day and the first day are the same day in Scripture. There are 3 days there. The third day is the Sunday, the first day of the week is the third day, then the Saturday before was the second day, and the Friday, of course, was the first day. And you have these 3 days together. And the third day Christ rose, but that third day was the beginning of a new week. It was the first day of the week. And that's why the Bible, both in the Gospels, and I say again, it's found in the four Gospels, it's never once found anywhere in the Old Testament in any way, shape, or form, those 3 days put together. In fact, it never already said mentions the resurrection of Christ in the Old Testament. It hints at it, of course, but it doesn't say it in so many words. It says, for instance, I will not leave my soul in hell, and so that meant Christ wasn't going to stay in the grave, but it doesn't say it was Christ it's talking about. We know that in the light of the New Testament, it doesn't say it there. In fact, it doesn't even say definitely that Christ was crucified in the Old Testament. You have to learn it by studying the Scripture. It said he was wounded for our transgression, but it doesn't tell you who he is. You learn that as you study God's Word, and it's unveiled to us in the New Testament. The direct statements are not made in the Old Testament. all that waited, the work of Christ on the cross, and when that was accomplished and the truth was unfolded and overflowed in all its wonderful fullness to mankind, that they might be blessed by God's precious, wonderful grace. So you have the 2 days, and I'd like to carry that thought with you, 2 days, and those 2 days were the same day. It was the third day of the three, but it was the first day of the week. Now why those 3 days? Why, we know, of course, that whatever the Bible says has its deepest spiritual meaning, and man in general just misses out on that. So the religious world, Friday is just Friday, and Saturday is just Saturday, and Sunday is just Sunday. Christ rose, a wonderful thing, but it's just, that's all it is. It has no particular meaning for them. But the Bible emphasizes this one day under this two-day figure to give us the tremendous spiritual truths that lie back of them. First of all, there's Friday. It's not mentioned as such, but we are told that he rose the third day, and the third day was the first day of the week, so the first one of those 3 days has to be Friday, as is recognized by any careful Bible student. So Friday. Anyway, that was the first day, whatever you want to call the day. Then the Sabbath came, and then the first day of the week. And these 3 days are emphasized, the first day and the third day are brought together to emphasize the tremendous truth that's back of them. First of all, Friday. For the Jew, Friday was the sixth day of the week, and Saturday was the seventh day. So at Friday, he'd been working for 6 days, a six-day work week for the Jew, ended on Friday. And therefore, Friday tells us, it talks about work, man's work. He worked and worked and worked. And I'm not talking now about physical labor. I'm talking about the work man does in order to make himself fit for God's presence. And the Jew worked in the Old Testament, and he found out by sad experience, that so few people are able to find out, even now, that works are no good whatever. They accomplish nothing. You are not saved by works. Man can work all week at his job and accomplish something, but he can work a million years and make himself fit for God's presence, he'll get nowhere. Those works accomplish absolutely nothing. So the Friday tells the hopelessness of human effort, of human doing, for man to be saved. That's what the Friday teaches us. And to emphasize that, at the close of that day, somebody hung on the cross dead and had accomplished that day by dying that which the Jews had never once or could never accomplish by living, no matter how many thousands of years they lived. Christ did in one day what man has never been able to do in all his experience, to make himself fit for God's presence. Christ on that cross, he did the work. Man does works, works, works. But Christ did one work. He did many works too, but one work in order to bring blessing to the human race. They came to the Lord Jesus and said, what shall we do? It might work the works of God. And the Lord Jesus, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. He cut the ass off that word works. This is the work of God. That it is one work that was needed to save the soul. Christ accomplished it. And when he got through, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head, and we've said before here that this word bowed his head in the Greek language simply says he rested his head. He laid it backwards and rested. Now the Friday, they'd been working 6 days a week and never got to the rest. They never got to the Sabbath. Nobody ever found rest by human work. And so the Friday suggests a hopeless quest on the part of the human race to find rest and never get to it. Christ made that rest, not by living, but by dying. Not by what man does, but what he did himself alone on the cross. And as you see that person hanging there with his breath gone, he gave up the spirit, and see him hanging dead on that cross, you learn the amazing fact that the death of Christ accomplishes that which all the efforts of man never could begin to accomplish. And so, there was a rest. The Saturday followed, and the Saturday is the day of rest. That was the next day of the three. On Friday, the Lord Jesus accomplished the work. And he When he was through with it, he said, it is finished. As we well know, the word really means it is perfect. It's accomplished. It's perfect. And he laid back his head and rested. That Friday tells you the tremendous story I want to emphasize again. For the Jews spoke of human effort all week long. For mankind to speak of human effort for all the time existing and never getting anywhere. Never. Salvation is not a work. That's what the Friday is meant to tell us. And it's that same day, the sharpest possible contrast, to show that man's works accomplish nothing, but the work of the Son of God accomplishes everything. He laid back his head and rested. And the only Sabbath you ever have, the only rest you ever have, is the rest that comes from the work that Christ did upon the cross. First Friday tells you the accomplished redemption work of the cross. Then you see him on Saturday. He's in the tomb on Saturday. To the disciples, they were all mystified at the Friday, an astounding experience. They didn't understand it, what he was doing. In the tomb, they thought maybe that the whole thing was a failure. They didn't believe that he was going to rise again. That it was amazing. They had to prove to him that he did rise eventually. But anyway, they seemed to be all hopeless. They missed the point entirely. They missed the point that Christ was emphasizing this fact, that the rest for the human race is not found by man doing it, by the Son of God having done his work. And therefore, in that tomb, he's seen as resting during the Sabbath day. And that's the only way blessing comes. Now, the Sabbath day was the last day of the week. The last day. For the Jew, it was the last day. The last day at the end of the week. But here, the Sabbath day, the last day is followed by the first day. He rose the first day of the week, we are told. Here, the last day and the first day come together. The last day is the last day of the Sabbath, the last day of human effort, the last day of man's doing. It's the end of everything. It's a hopeless thing. It accomplishes nothing. But here is the first day of the week. Here is life, not death. The last day is followed by the first day. You know, when you're the last day and have accomplished nothing, it seems utterly hopeless, and so it is. Except for one thing, that the last day was followed by the first day. And God loves to emphasize that fact, that he rose from the dead the first day of the week. The last day seems to be a failure. And for man it is, of course. Seems to leave things hopeless. He was in the tomb, in the darkness, so to speak. And everything seemed to be baffled. But then he arose the first day. Oh, what a tremendous difference. On the cross, he accomplished the work, and he accomplished it by dying. But the first day, he went on to do work that he did, and by living, and not by dying. He did one thing on the Friday, and that is accomplish the work of redemption. And then on the first day of the week, he sets us the picture that now he does everything as the living, glorified Savior. On Friday, all you read about that he was rejected and crucified. But on the first day of the week, from the beginning of the day till the end of the day, all you read in the Gospels is his activity. He was busy every moment of that first day of the week. First of all, he revealed himself to Mary Magdalene and set her heart at ease and showed her the joy that his great salvation brought. Then he restored Simon Peter, as other passages show. He cheated Simon Peter, who had denied him, had cursed his oath. And no doubt between the two of them, they got that thing settled, and Simon Peter realized the shameful dishonor he'd done to his Lord and was restored to communion. Just like we need to spend some time to seek to help God's people to fellowship with him and in communion and fellowship one with the other. That's what the Lord Jesus did that first day of the week. It wasn't an idle day. It wasn't a day set aside. The Sabbath was a day set aside to doing nothing. But the first day of the week is set aside to do everything. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, as we did a little while ago. The first day of the week. The day of life and triumph and victory. Manifest victory over all the forces of evil. When they saw Christ risen from the dead, then they realized that the cross was not a mistake. That was not the end of things, but the basis of everything, now and forevermore. And so, he walked with the 200 Emmaus and comforted their hearts and opened the word of God to them and cheered their souls along the way. Then in the evening, He was with them when they met in the upper room and comforted their hearts and said to them, peace be unto you. And from morning till evening, you find that he spent that first day of the week in active service, in active devotion to God and to his people, in order that they might be blessed forever. And that's why those 3 days follow each other in Scripture. That's why they're emphasized. That's why the only place they're emphasized is at the cross. I say again, they're never met together anywhere else except at the cross. They knew they'd not meet together. They would come together on the days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it's never once mentioned in Scripture anywhere. The first time that truth is ever brought before you is at the cross. But the Gospels tell us that he died and rose again the third day. And rose again the first day. And here in Corinthians we read that he rose again the third day. And the Gospel tells that third day was the first day. It was the last day of the three, but it was the first day of everything. With everything else, things came to an end. With the Jew, he was told to do this and do that and do the other. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt, hundreds of times over the Old Testament. He tried to do it that way, but he found out there was no blessing that way. And those who were saved in those days were saved because they realized somehow or other, taught by the Spirit of God, what real salvation is. They could say like David, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Not blessed the man who does the best he can, but the man whose transgression is forgiven for Christ's sake. Though those words were not there, but that's how it happens. And the way the blessing was through the redemptive work of Christ, but otherwise it was never such mentioned. Whole emphasis was on man's doing. And that's why those 3 days stand out to tell us that all the emphasis on Christ's doing and not on man's doing. It's what he did on Friday. It's what he, that day that spoke of the end of their works, the last day of their works. It's what he did on that work. When their works were lost sight of and his work was set forth in all its forceful beauty, then the basis was laid for present and eternal blessing. Then the Sabbath comes in between to emphasize the fact, of course, that Sabbath is stood for the nation of Israel for rest, had never given them rest. And now here is somebody dead in the tomb, and yet that person dead in the tomb has brought them rest and has forever blotted out all human effort for salvation. There's no longer to do it. That was at the end. Under the law, it was at the end, the Sabbath was. Then doing, 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 and then at the end, maybe get something. But he never got anything. Because under human effort, the end was only sorrow and suffering and judgment and hell for those who reject God's way of salvation. But then came the third day. And what a triumphant difference here. All now is seen to be dependent on him. Rising from the dead, the truth becomes plain that his death on the cross was not a tragedy, but a triumph. It was not the end of things, but the beginning of things. It was not a lost hope, but a triumphant, glorious future ushered in the first day of the week. With man, the blessing lies at the end. With Christ, all the blessing begins at the start. That's what these 3 days are meant to tell us. And that's why I say again, I'll leave this thought with you, that's why the three of them come together. God is emphasizing that truth, that the one outstanding day in human history is the last day of the three, but the first day of the week. The last day of the three is what Christ did in triumphant resurrection. It's the basis of all assurance and peace that we have now and forever. And I can only say, if there's one here, this one that has not the assurance of salvation, I hope you'll carry that one day with you. The one day that's the third day, and that's the first day. It's the last day of the old, and it's the first day of everlasting, eternal blessing. May God make it real and precious to you by his grace. Amen.